Blog Talk Radio.
A good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, March 11th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. We love hearing from you, so please join us to listen in or ask questions by dialing 347-857-2710. We are here live until 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, that number to join us today is 347-857-2710. And if you'd like to email me personally, you can do so by emailing me at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. Once again, goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. Well, we're double dipping this week with two fabulous guests this hour. Coming up in the second half hour at 3:30 will be Renat Zafrani, a life coach and CEO of Reaching Potential. So stay dialed into that. It's going to be a lovely back end of 3 o'clock. But my first guest is a very dear friend whom I met through the Alzheimer's Association many years ago while organizing a benefit in memory of my own mother. She has taken her extraordinary skills and talents to Villa Esperanza Services, which is another wonderful nonprofit organization dedicated to the care and education of children and adults with developmental disabilities, where she is the director of development. So please give a warm, comfy shoe welcome to Michelle Cox. Hey, girl, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Lauren, for having me.
You know, it's nice to be had, isn't it?
Always.
That's my feeling. Wherever it comes, that's where I'll get it. It's great to have you here. It always gives us an opportunity to chat because you're just so busy at Villa Esperanza. So it gives us an opportunity to chat and also to share all the good things you're doing over there at Villa. And just so our listeners realize that Villa Esperanza was founded in 1961. And we just spoke just before going on air, and you were telling me that you're about to celebrate 50 years of being here, and it was discovered by a group of mothers whose children were disabled. So tell us more about the history of Villa.
Well, like you said, we are going to be turning 50 in 2011, so we'll start our celebration in July of this year, and we will be celebrating for an entire year leading up to a bigger celebration in July of 2011. We have been around 50 years in Pasadena, but we also serve in addition to Pasadena, we also have programs out in the Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village area. So we've definitely grown. When we started, it was as a small school for children with mostly Down syndrome. And these moms were told originally, once they had their babies, that they should just take them and institutionalize them. And thank goodness these moms decided, no, I think we can teach and love our children, and they will become active members of society. And that's what's happened. And so we've seen a transformation over the 50 years from serving individuals from Down syndrome all the way up now, a variety of developmental disabilities, including autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and a variety of others. So, and we've grown. Not only are we a school now, we serve children and adults and seniors throughout their whole life with a variety of programs. So, yeah, we've come a long way in 50 years, and we're proud of it.
Wow, it certainly has. And I know you also provide living quarters also. Is that for
residential?
All the students, the residential aspect of the school? Or
Our residential program is only for adults. The children programs really are focused on our school speech therapy center. We have an occupational therapy center. We also have behaviorists. In addition, we have music therapy and then therapeutic art. So our children and youth programs are really focused around school and learning and teaching. And then once a child reaches the age of 22, they can then enter what we call our adult programs, which we have a variety of those, one of which is our residential program. So we have 9 group homes where 6 adults live together in a roommate-type setting. And then we have staff members that live there as well that assist with, you know, cooking and what have you, the ins and outs of daily living, as we all know. And so we do have 9 of those group homes, but they are for adults.
I think that's wonderful that as an organization, you not only provide education to these children that have these challenges, but also you help them blend into society, to go beyond that. And I, from what I understand, you also help in the placement of these adults for jobs. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's another one of our exciting programs that we have. It's called our employment services, and there's a variety of different ways that we work with individuals. So we may work with them one-on-one if they're interested in working, let's say, at a Starbucks or a Vons or a Target. And we work with them, we job coach them, we walk them through and train them through the process of a job interview. They do have to interview like everyone else does. They go in and interview, and if they get the job, we then provide, at no cost to the employer, we provide a job coach. So someone that comes in with them helps train them so the employer's not taking away any more time that they would on any individual to train this particular person who has a special need. So we assist them, and we're with them 80% of the time until we feel comfortable that they're doing a great job and can handle it. Then we scale back to 60 and then 40, and then, you know, the goal is to eventually just have to check in and make sure that. So we have some really great stories. Jackie is one of our, we just love to talk about her. She actually started in another part of our employment service, which is called group employment, where they work in a, like, 3 or 4 individuals together doing a task, whether it's gardening or janitorial service or what have you. And she saw one of her friends go out into the community and get a job. And she said, I can do that. So 2 years ago, we set up an interview for her at Pacific Theaters here in Pasadena. She got the job. And flash forward to 2 years later, she's now taking the bus by herself to work. She's asking for more hours. She loves work. And she's just blossomed into this whole other individual with a lot of self-confidence. And it's really been wonderful to watch.
Just so wonderful to hear this story. I have been so privileged to get a tour of Villa Esperanza, and you were telling me about the young people that attend there. And once you go into this, into Villa, you just see the love on the faces of these children of all ages, and you can't help but feel the joy and love that these children have. And it's just so wonderful to hear that.
That's nice. Thank you.
It is.
It is.
You know,
yeah, I think
you
oftentimes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, just so it's so wonderful to hear enthusiasm from Jackie, the story you just said, that how she, I can have that job. I can do that.
I know. I can do that.
And do it. And
exactly.
They're an inspiration to people.
They are, to each other.
To each other and to children that don't face these challenges, but if a child can, with challenges, do this, then what's your excuse?
Right. Well, it's been really great. We do tours here like the second Friday of every month, and we're holding one again tomorrow. And it's interesting, if you don't really have a background in working with people with developmental disabilities, you're not quite sure what to expect. And, you know, our population or our school is quite different than what some people may have come across, because our school is moderate to severe. But they often are a little bit worried, and they're worried they're going to be leaving here sad and not sure what to expect. And after the tour, we often get, wow, what a happy place. What a wonderful place. There's so much energy, and there's a lot of positive things that go on here. So, yes, there are a lot of challenges, but there are lots of successes, which we were very happy about.
Absolutely. And what is the enrollment? What is the student body there?
We actually, in our school, we have, I believe it's 76 students that are enrolled. And like I said, our school is primarily moderate to severely developmentally disabled. So probably 65% of our students are what we would consider nonverbal. So they are unable to communicate in the form of speech. So that's one of the reasons speech therapy is so critical and important. In addition to that, we have a very high diagnosis of autism in our school. So we take a comprehensive approach, and where it's a team. Not only are we having the teachers and the aides, but we have, like I mentioned earlier, the speech therapist, the occupational therapist, the behaviorists, all working together. So during therapy, they're getting that direct therapy. But in addition, we are also training the teachers in the classroom how to deal with a variety of things that may come up that the therapists have been working with them on. So it's a very comprehensive and very much team approach. And these students come from all over. I mean, we have one guy that comes from the beach every day by taxi.
By taxi?
Because there's just not service. There's no services in his region for someone who has extreme disabilities like he does. So.
Well, what does that say about a need?
A huge need. Yeah.
Huge.
Well, we serve, just to give you a little bit of an idea, our school is based in Pasadena, but we serve 24 different school districts. So that can kind of give you a grasp of how large, even though we're in Pasadena, how large our reach is.
And the school districts are in Pasadena, and then where out else in the community are they?
There are a variety. Like I said, we have one guy that comes from the beach area, El Monte, San Gabriel, a variety of school districts throughout San Gabriel Valley. Glendale, maybe one.
Southern California.
Pardon me?
It's just basically in Southern California.
Yes, in the L.A. region, yeah. And then like I mentioned earlier, we have programs in what we call our West region, which is Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village area, which is very near Ventura County. We don't actually have a school out there, but we have very successful adult programs out there. And, you know, maybe one day we'll have a school. Who knows? Because there's a need out there as well.
I think that there's a need. And what is the criteria? You know, those listeners who are maybe parents that have disabled children, and they say, oh, wow, Villa, I've never heard of them. I would like to see if my child can attend this particular school. What is the criteria to see if a child can be accepted to your school?
Well, it really has to do with the need of the child, and can we meet that need? So I would recommend the first step have that parent or that individual come for a tour and meet with our vice president of children programs and see what it is that this particular student is in need of. An IEP is oftentimes our students will come from a school district, and an IEP is an individualized education plan. And the school is maybe not meeting the need because they don't have the correct therapies, or there's very few moderate to severe in that school district, so they don't have the right teaching staff or what have you. So oftentimes the school district will ask Villa to step in and help with that student. Or the other way around is the parent might say, my child is not getting the education that I feel that they need, and they will advocate for their child to come to Villa. So it's happened both ways, mm-hmm. But you know, I think the first step is having that parent or that individual come and take a look at Villa and see if they think it's a right fit, and then they can go from there.
That sounds good. I noticed that you have on your website, you have a very interesting YouTube video of a young girl named Samantha. Please,
yeah.
And because you were talking earlier about a lot of the children are nonverbal, and this
mm-hmm.
young girl, Samantha, who is 5, falls into that category. So share her story with us.
She's been at Villa, I guess, several years now. I want to say 2 to 3 years, maybe even longer now. It goes fast. She is such a delightful little girl, and we wanted to, because we have so many programs, we have over 9 programs, we wanted to kind of showcase the story of one individual, and Samantha kind of stole our hearts in addition to everyone else here, but we wanted to focus on her because she has a lot of the symptoms that are very similar to what people might experience with autism, and so we thought that would be a far-reaching kind of story. She is nonverbal, and when she first came to Villa, I mean, she could barely even stand up or walk. She didn't have a whole lot of strength in her legs. We would have to work with her on weight training and what have you to be able to have her support her body, her own body weight, to be able to walk around. And now, you know, she wouldn't say hi. She would walk and hold the teacher's hand, and she would cry every time she saw someone or someone new would come in. And through the work of all of the hard work of the teachers and the therapists and what have you, she's doing, and in the video you see a little bit of the yoga for the special child. She's in speech and OT and what have you. And now when she comes in, she lights up a room. She smiles. She can use, you know, her words. She also uses some devices that allow her to communicate more, which our speech therapists have worked with her on. And she's just transformed to a whole another person with a lot more independence, and that's ultimately our goal, is to you know, create an environment where these individuals can be successful and that they will thrive and be as independent as they possibly can. So I encourage you to check it out. It's a great video. It's only 3 minutes, too.
It is.
And she's
wonderful.
Really cute.
She's adorable. So people can go to your website, which is www.VillaEsperanzaServices.org, and it's Villa, V-I-L-L-A, Esperanza, E, S as in Sam, P, Peter, E-R-A-N-Z-A, Services.org, and they can check out the YouTube video on Samantha. It's just heartwarming is the wonderful word I want to use to describe it.
Thank you. Yes, and then the upper right-hand side, it says Finding Her Voice, Samantha at Villa, and you can just click on that. It'll take you right to the video. So
Beautiful. But
and
you
become a fan.
What's that?
I said you can become a fan of Villa's, too, on Facebook. So we're trying to reach out also to a variety of audiences, letting people know who we are and what we do. And I think one of the difficult parts is if you do have a child or a family member with a disability, not knowing where to go. And so we always say we feel like we're kind of the best kept secret in Pasadena. Like not all people know that we're here. And so we want to just get the word out. Because if we're a good fit for someone, we want to be there to help them.
Well, it sounds as if Villa gives each child the individual attention that they need, and that is what is so needed.
Yes.
In their own environment with their special needs, as it should be in a wide variety of education. Classrooms should be much smaller, et cetera, so that no child falls through the crack, that each child gets noticed, gets a little bit of attention, and can find that independence, find that growth and strength so they can be the best they can be.
Mm-hmm. Very
good. But you are not only involved with Villa on so many other levels, but you are the director of development. You're the cha-ching lady.
I'm one of a group of ladies.
You bring in the cha-ching, the dough.
Very much a group effort, and yes, and we're very thankful to our donors and the foundations and corporations that support Villa, because we are a nonprofit. Even though we are a school and we provide adult programs, we are still a nonprofit organization. And we couldn't provide the quality of service that we do without that the funds that we bring in through development to make up the difference. So it's very important,
like,
and we appreciate it.
It sounds like the community of Pasadena has been a big supporter of Villa since the early 60s, so that says a lot about Villa and the community of Pasadena and how important the two of you are to each other, and that's wonderful.
Thanks.
And you're doing a big blue and white event.
We are. One of the events that we do each year to help supplement those costs and to bring in that additional money, as with all nonprofits, I think we all have a few events that we do. And one of our signature events is called Blue and White. It's mainly because those are our colors. We came up with a name that was a little bit more flexible and can change every year. And this year we're very proud to announce that we're going to be honoring at our event two wonderful individuals. One is Bridge Lall, and he is involved in the fashion industry, and he owns his own company, and he's been on our board, and he's been very instrumental in helping us grow in a variety of ways. And then we're also honoring the actress Jane Kaczmarek for her work in the community, specifically with Villa, but also in the community at large for her philanthropic efforts and, her community impact. So we're very excited about that.
She donates her gown, whatever she wears, the Emmys, whatever.
Yeah, she has her own organization. I think it's Gowns Off Our Back. I'm sorry. I think I've quoted it wrong. But, yes, she does. And she started that, I believe, many years ago. And she's just been a constant philanthropist, definitely in this region. And we just are so grateful to have her part of Villa. And we appreciate everything that she does. So.
And
then Annie Potts is going to be our MC, so we're really excited. It's going to be a fun day. It's May 16th, and it's a brunch. And because we serve families, the event is family-friendly. It's not a child's event, but families with children are of course, included and welcomed. So you can check that out on the website, too. At the very bottom of the page, we have the link there. It's called Blue and White, and our theme is New Orleans this year.
Get
we're jazzing it up.
I know, we're jazzing. I mean, New Orleans is big this year. New Orleans won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so
I know. Yeah, if you know anyone, we're trying to get the Saints there. So if you know any,
if I know a saint, like a real saint, or
no, oh no, well that too, but from the football team.
I think you need to hook up with one of the Kardashians because Reggie Bush. Well, which one? I get them all confused.
Oh. I don't know.
Him?
I can't keep up with all that stuff.
I know. I think one of the Kardashians, because she's dating Reggie Bush, and he's.
Oh, okay. That's right. He is. Okay. All right. Well, I'm making notes.
Are you making notes?
I am.
Yeah, you're making notes. You know what? We have a caller on the line. Let's check in and see if somebody wants to join us in our conversation.
Right.
Guess not, because they. When I said the word join, that's a dirty four-letter word.
Oh.
They went,
well, maybe
bye-bye.
They just want to check out the website then. They'll just go straight to the website.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay. well, that event sounds great in May with the jazz, and I'm sure the food that goes along with being in New Orleans.
Oh, yes. The food is going to be phenomenal.
Oh, that sounds great. When, where is the event taking place?
It's in a private home in South Pasadena, so we're delighted that that has been graciously donated to us to use. And, like I said, it's just it's a brunch, but it's really full of life, and it's very relaxing and fun, and it'll be a great day. And let's hope the weather holds out.
I hope so. I'll get my people working on it. I know last year you raised over $90,000, so what is your goal this year?
Our goal, I believe, is $110,000 this year. $110,000, yes.
Okay, let's put it out there. Done.
Yeah,
woo-hoo!
Put it out there. If anyone can write that check, that would be lovely. I don't
know. One person.
Yeah, one swift check. I could do that, boy. I wish.
I know. I'm sure you have been feeling the economic crunch as a nonprofit that I'm sure a lot of nonprofits are with the economic situation of the
yes,
world. But
yes.
When you look at what's happened in Haiti and how the people come together, we as as a nation, America, we always come to aid of people in need. That's one of the most beautiful qualities about being an American, that we really do give of our time, our expertise, our wallet, to help those that really need it the most. And
I definitely agree with you. And our supporters have been tremendous, and we're very, very thankful for that. You know, though we have seen a dip, we realize everyone is hurting. You know, for-profit, non-profit, everyone. And so for people to continue to give what they can is tremendous, and we so appreciate it. So.
Well, it's like that, and I don't really remember the entire story, but it's the principle is about the compounding would you rather $100 or a penny every day? Because the compounding interest would gather more. So even if you got, you know, $1 from 1,000 people every day,
right?
You know what people
makes a difference. The impact is tremendous. It is
exactly, exactly. And people, I think, feel that if they can't give a certain amount, they don't want to give at all. But even a dollar, 50 cents, it's better than not giving, and it all does help. It really adds up, and people.
It truly does.
People can volunteer their time, which I'm sure you are in need of volunteers to donate their time for.
Yeah.
What would you need some volunteers to do?
Well, we actually have a really tremendous volunteer program here that spans also. In addition to our program serving all ages, our volunteer program does kind of as well, because we work with a lot of the local schools, and they come in and do a lot of volunteer hours here within the classrooms and what have you. And then, of course, adults and professionals that may be retired, or actually some people that unfortunately were laid off are filling their time in between interviews of coming and making a difference in the lives of our children and adults by volunteering here at Villa. So it's a variety. What we try to do is we try to match up the individual, what they're looking for in a volunteer experience, with kind of our needs. So some people want to work directly with students or adults, and some want to work in the office. And, you know, we need volunteers in a variety of ways. We also had it was a really fun weekend. It was called the Volunteer Weekend. And they came and they planted flowers with their children, the families did. It's an opportunity for them to give back as a family, and it made our campus look great. We were happy, and they had a great experience. So there's a variety of ways, and that's also available on the website if they're interested. We'd love to have volunteers come out.
And that website address, again, is www.VillaEsperanzaServices.org. I have an interesting question I've been thinking about. When we first started the show, we talked about the mothers that founded Villa. And Villa was not the original name. It was the school was called the Pasadena Retarded Children's Foundation.
Yes.
Which I found that interesting. But my question is, do you know what has become of the children of the mothers that started the school, where they are in their lives?
Some of them are still involved. Like, for instance, Katie Neck was one of our early, what we call a founder, an early member of Villa. And her daughter still is a part of Villa in a variety of ways, in terms of an employment program as well as residential. So some of them are still around, which is really exciting. Some of them have moved on. Some of them, you know, unfortunately have passed on. But we have... It's really great to see these, what were young kids, grow up to be adults. And so we have a lot of, we feel like they're truly our family, which has been really tremendous.
It's great because obviously you must be doing something right. When you've been around so long and you're feeling a need for children that are in desperate need of a little more TLC than perhaps some others. And unfortunately, today, in today's education, I know you have children of your own in public schools that because of the lack of funds available, music programs, art programs are being removed. So it's nice to hear that in Villa, through art and music, of course children can learn and express themselves. It's not always through an academic process.
Right, right.
So that's I think that's great. And you're about to have one of your own, a new one.
Yes, we are. This is our last one. I'm done after this.
You're done. So that this is three.
Yeah. My husband's listening. He's got it on tape now.
Yeah, he got it. I didn't want, when you said this is your last one, I didn't want people to think I've had 22 kids.
No. Done. This is my third, our third and last.
So that's a nice round.
I'm getting too old.
That's a nice, and you're having a girl, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I am pushing for the name Lauren. I think Lauren Cox is a beautiful name. It's solid.
It is a beautiful name. I won't deny that.
Yeah, so you'll.
I don't know if we're going to name her that, but it is a beautiful name.
Well, I don't want to push you or Lauren Cox.
I wouldn't dream. You wouldn't dream of it.
Maybe we need our listeners to chime in and say, Lauren Cox, if you feel Lauren Cox is the name that Michelle should give her new daughter, please feel free to do so. Call in now or give me an email at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com, and we can do that. Well, I don't know where 30 minutes went, but it was just so fabulous talking to you on the phone. You give good phone, girl. That's all I could say.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
always like the opportunity to share what we're doing here at Villa. It's a really great organization. So we're all very proud of it.
As you should. You're doing wonderful work, and there are so many wonderful nonprofit organizations out there. But
yes, there are.
I wanted to give Villa Esperanza Services an opportunity to perhaps go beyond the borders a little bit and reach a larger community, because I know what you have to offer can help so many people. And once again, I want to give out the web address, which is VillaEsperanzaServices.org, or they can also call the organization at 626-449-2919. And you're also on Facebook, which is facebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to forget the blue and white big event coming up May, give the date
16th.
Again.
May 16th.
That's the hottest ticket in town, in Pasadena, May 16th, with a little Creole and jazz and maybe one of the Kardashians. And we're not saying. We can't promise. But maybe we can get a little saint and a Kardashian. That would be,
maybe so. That would be lovely.
I think we're putting it out there, and I'm sure Kim Kardashian will call you and tell you she really wants to help.
That would be wonderful. I'd love that.
We'd love that. Great.
Yeah. And we're also, let's see, let's throw out a few other names, like Ellen DeGeneres. Isn't she from New Orleans? We need her, too.
There
Harry Connick Jr.?
That's
I don't know. I'm just going to throw these names out.
Throw that. Yo, Ellen. I think you need to, she would love to do that, because she was so happy that her Saints won the Super Bowl.
I know. It was very exciting. Yeah.
So you can use that as a little, who knows.
Well, if she's listening.
Ellen, you're listening. Come on, Ellen. Well, you know, you and I will talk. We'll talk about how to get Ellen where she needs to be in May.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Lauren. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and good luck with Lauren.
Will do.
Okay. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a delightful woman. Michelle Cox from Villa Esperanza Services. Once again, if you are interested in learning more about Villa Esperanza Services, you can go to their website at www.villaesperanzaservices.org and look at their website, or you can call them at 626-449-2919. Well, we are about to meet another very special person. We're going to continue with How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes, Part 2. And she has joined us in the hot seat. We have Renat Zafrani with us today. She's a life coach who has worked in human services and education for over 10 years. And through her company, Reaching Potential, she coaches individuals who want inner peace, clarity, and certainty in order to make decisions that bring them joy and fulfillment. Wow, that sounds so good. Hopefully I'm going to get a little bit of that with Renat this afternoon. So please welcome Renat Zafrani. Hi, Renat.
Hi, Lauren.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
You're excellent. Wow. Okay, I'm pretty fabulous. I don't want to brag, but, you know. And I'm great. I'm so lovely to have you on the show. It's just a delight to...
Well, it's an honor to be on the show. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, my pleasure. You have so much positive information, and especially as I was talking with my earlier guest, Michelle Cox, that times are a little more challenging for all of us, no matter what field we are in. So if we can get a little encouragement, a new avenue to explore in how to move forward in whatever we're doing, then that is what needs to be done, and I think you're the woman to do that for us today.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I hope I'm not putting too much pressure on you.
Well, I enjoy the challenge, so bring it on, sister.
I love that. I love it. Okay, so on your website, Reaching Potential is the name of your company, and you have a little tag about being is potential. What exactly do you mean by that?
Lauren, I think that all of us try to be something we want to be something that other people want us to be something that we were told we were supposed to be. And, you know, our essence is who we really are, and our essence is amazing and wonderful. And once we recognize that, it's eye-opening, and it's exciting, and we see how great we are, and we see that we really do already have it all. So when you're just being and just being you, that is potential. That's your potential. You know, not, I got to do this, I got to do that, I have to, I should, I shouldn't. You know, I always say, don't should on yourself. When the shoulds come in, I always say, who's the should? Is that you? Is it your parents? Is it society? Don't should on yourself.
That's so true. I think should is one word that needs to be deleted from the English language.
Yes.
Yes. Because
We
should delete it. I gave the word should to a friend of mine, because sometimes I throw that in every now and then. I said, please, I want you to be the keeper of this word. And you may take it shopping, take it on vacation, but I really don't want to have it around anymore, because I think the words are a block. And you hit upon a very interesting thought about how or what we as individuals need to be from our parents on down. There are certain beliefs that are given to us as young young adults or children, and then when we reach a certain age, we realize that, well, I don't know if I believe with this particular belief that was given to me, and I want to change that.
Exactly.
So what are some of the ways in which you work with people that want to have a self-discovery to figure out their potential, their passion, to take that step forward?
Some of the things that I do, I consider myself a reminder. I'm just there to remind people what they already have. You know, I listen for their qualities and for their passions and their desires and their strengths and what's important to them. I listen to their essence and I mirror it back. The whole experience is not about me. It's about them. You know, I'm more of a channel. I'm more there to guide and coach, for lack of better terms. You know, we are all searching for something. You know, every individual is whatever it is for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, fulfillment is in every moment of the pursuit of it's every human being's pursuit of every moment of their life. They're looking for fulfillment, you know, and we forget. We forget the amazing family we have. We forget the amazing friends. We forget that we have the help. We forget that even the sky is blue and the birds are chirping, you know, and it's those little tiny, teeny things that remind us we already have it all. It's all great. It's so much easier to be positive and look at all the things you have in your life instead of focusing on the lack, you know.
Well, I completely agree with you, and I also think that sometimes material things come into mind, that if you don't have money, not to say that that's not important, we all have our debts to society, but when you are grateful for those things you already have, the simple things, that the rest comes. It's not to say that you don't move forward, you're not proactive in working towards a goal, but
right.
I think, unfortunately, we realize what we have when it's at risk.
Yes. And what I do is, you know, I ask, like I said before, I listen for the qualities, the passions, the desires, and I ask and look for powerful questions to provoke thought and inspire action in my clients. You know, what do they want? Whoa, you want this? Well, what's that about? What do you want to create from that? And then getting them to the commitment. What's the next step? You know, it's so easy for us to say, oh, I've always wanted to be a dancer. Okay, well, what's that about? Tell me about that. And, you know, maybe a person would go into it's their passion and it's their love and, ugh, but I have kids and I have this and I have that. And, you know, and I say, well, you know, I would say maybe something like, what, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you with your fulfillment of dance in your life? And maybe they would say a 2. And then I would say, are you okay with that? And obviously they would say no because they're coming to me. And, you know, and then I would just ask, well, what number do you want it to be? What would that look like? And it could be such a small step as taking a dance class once a week so that that passion is integrated into their life, which in turn gives them the fulfillment.
What are some of the common, what do you think prevents people the most from pursuing the dance? Or anything they want. What is that? I know there are many things, but I think fear is one of them. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think that there's a quote. I can't remember who it was by, and I can't remember the quote, but the gist of it is that we're more afraid of our power than we are of our failure. And, you know, it comes to a point where you've wanted to become a doctor your whole life, and you took the MCAT, and you studied hard, and you did good in school, and you're doing residency, and you're just about to jump over the cliff into the pool of doctorhood, and you do something to sabotage it. Because, oh my God, I could have everything I want in my life and be completely fulfilled. How scary is that? And when you think about that, it sounds insane. You know, well, Of course I want those things, but it's so powerful, it's so overwhelming and all-consuming and so full of greatness and light that as human beings, we're scared of it. You know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So it's almost like the vessel of our body can't contain the light and the greatness of our you know, our being, our spiritual being, that we freak out, you know? Everything you've ever wanted in your life, it sounds so nice in a dream. It looks so great in the movies, you know, but when you're actually living it and doing it and being it, yes, once you hop over that fear of the power and you're living your best life ever, you're just high all the time. You know, and even the lows and the hardships, obviously, you know, it's life, it comes, but, you know, it's about the perception and the perspective of the hardship. Looking at it, you don't look at the hardship the same anymore. It's not like, oh my God, again, you know, it's no longer the victim. It's an opportunity and a challenge. And yay, another opportunity for me to be better and get higher, you know.
And I think it's also testing the waters if we're able to taste what success feels like for us in our own, if it's in at like a doctor, being a doctor, if you know what that feels mm-hmm. like and you know that it's safe, then you will want to go further into it. I have there's a gentleman that is a business coach, and he's also a rower. And in his coaching for rowers, he goes through the steps of the race, calling the race, and then at the end, they row as if they're rowing in the Olympics. And so there are three mm-hmm. winners, and each winner stands on the box. They get a medal. So they go through the process of what it's like to win. Mm-hmm. And so they know what that feels like. So if you know what it feels like, then perhaps we can prevent the self-sabotage of getting there again, because we've already experienced it and it feels comfortable.
Exactly. And that's where the reminder part comes in. I remind my clients of their connection to their infinite resourcefulness. Oh, you've been successful before? Well, how did that feel? And did you survive? Are you okay? You know? Yeah, it was great. It was amazing. So, well, you know, you've done it before. You can do it again. And now it's on a bigger scale and a larger scale, because we just get better and better, you know?
Do you find that you have to... What's the best way to describe it? Kind of, you know, some people kind of can get the intellectual concept of going through whatever steps they need to get it, but sometimes people just need people to trick them into doing it.
I see what you're saying. Actually, in therapy, that's called the paradoxical approach.
Wow, look at that. That's the PA approach. I like it.
You know, I have, it's funny because my friends will tell me that I have a sarcastic way of kind of showing my friends that they're being silly. You know, they'll be complaining or whatever, and I'll say something like, they're there. My friends absolutely know me for saying that line, because it's like, really? Like, you're so upset. You have an amazing career and an amazing husband, and you're upset that you're making more money and have to work a little more and do amazing things. God, it sucks to be you, you know? So sometimes
exactly
taking that mockery and that, you know, paradoxical approach. I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, you know, you can't take yourself too seriously. Life is so precious and so amazing and so incredible. You know, why be upset? Laugh at yourself. It's silly. It's funny. Whatever, you know.
You're right. You're absolutely right. How did you find your way to becoming a life coach?
I think that I've always been inherently a life coach. Interestingly enough, when I was 19, which was about, gosh, I'm horrible at math, probably 12, 13 years ago, I'm 31. You do the math. When I was 19, I said to myself, I'm not going to college. That's just silly. I'm going to be a learner of life. And I've always been the go-to person with friends, with family. And when I was 19, I said, I want to do something where I like coach people on their life. Like a life coach. Is there something like that? Is there something out there? And really, over in the last 10 years, life coaching has been a booming business. It's really come to fruition and really making an impact in people's lives. So, you know, over the course of my life, my bachelor's is in social work and my master's is in school counseling. And when I finished my master's, I said, you know what, I'm already in the school mode. Just get your training as a life coach. Fine-tune what you already inherently do, what you already love to do, and, you know, make it legit. Make it legit. The work, Lauren, is so incredible. It's so amazing. For me, it's like breathing. I'm so genuinely interested in what people have to say and what people want for themselves in their lives. You know, when someone comes to me and opens up to me and tells me about their life, I hold such a place of honor, you know, that they're sharing with me. You know, sometimes people in the human services, profession have this sense of entitlement of, so what's going on with you? What's going on in your life? Tell me about it. And I'm just so honored every time somebody tells me something personal about their life. I mean, everybody's dreams and hopes and desires is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing. And to share it with me, wow, thank you so much. So
you have that wonderful way about you, and obviously you listen, and that's key to anything, is to listen, to be there, to hear someone's concerns, their joys, their sadness, but to hear where they are and why they aren't where they want to be. And
mm-hmm.
if you can shed light on that, shed a little glimmer of hope. And it's not as difficult as I think we make it out for ourselves. I think sometimes we tend to make life more difficult for ourselves. There are challenges, and life is a challenge, but that's what makes it interesting.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Now, did your family, were they supportive of you when you said, I'm not going to college, I'm a life coach, get down with your fine self, nah.
Well, that's a kind of a funny story. When I made that announcement to my mom, you know, I was 18 and living at home at the time, and she said, okay, well, you can live at home and you can pay rent. That's fine. You know, and then I said, well, I'm going to become a hairdresser. And, you know, in my mom's defense, hairdressers are amazing people, and I bow down to my hairdresser every day, but my mother said, over my dead body. You know, she knew that I had a calling. She knew that I had a mission. And she basically nurtured what I wanted in a way of challenging me. You know, okay, you want to do it? Well, you can live at home and pay rent. So instead, I actually majored in dance in the beginning of my educational career. And then I just found that as much as I love dancing, it just wasn't fulfilling enough for me. I found myself in between classes, everyone sitting in a circle around me telling me what was going on with them and coming to me with their problems.
So you're a natural. You're a magnet for the human feeling.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is. I feel very lucky. I feel like I've been given this gift to feel other people's pain. Now, I know when I first say that sounds, well, however it sounds, it doesn't matter. The point is that I feel this, I feel it in my body. I feel other people's pain in my body. And I'm not talking about, oh, woe is me type of pain. I'm talking about pain of other people not living their best life. The pain of people having a dream and this glimmer in their eye and this spark and this desire that is not sparkling, it's not shining because they're not pursuing it. And I have this ability to just hone in on it and start asking questions about it and, you know, get the other person to just do the, I never thought of that. I never saw that. You know, back in the day, I would actually get myself in trouble for doing things like that because I wasn't mature enough yet and didn't yet know when it was the right timing to say those kinds of things. Because sometimes people aren't ready to hear it, and that's okay. You know, everyone has their process and everyone has their journey. And this whole life coaching thing is not about me. It's about the client. It's about what they want, what they're ready to do, what they're ready to commit to doing for themselves. I have no agenda. I have no say in it. I have no judgment whatsoever. You know, when I listen to my clients, I listen with a mind of innocence, with a beginner's mind. I listen like a five-year-old does when they hear the story for the first time, like, oh, wow, and you did what? And you like this? And you went where? You know, that's how I hear people. So it's been a progress, a work in progress.
Yes, yes, it always is. So for those listeners who are in that place of being stuck, what simple tips can you give to perhaps assess where they are and to help unlock a thought or a future task to get them moving in a direction? It doesn't have to be in the quote-unquote right direction, but in a direction.
I think that the answer to that is twofold. Number one, I think ending the internal conflict, because we say that we want to be a certain person or do a certain thing or achieve something, and we get in our own way, as you were saying before. There was a quote from the book, The Power of Now, that talks about not looking for peace and not looking for any other state of mind other than the one that you're in right now. And forgive yourself for not being in that peace, because the moment you completely accept the non-peace, your non-peace becomes transmuted into peace. So forgive yourself that you're not that person right now. Say, you know what? Okay. This is who I want to be. This is who I want to become. This is what I want to do. So right now I'm not, and that's okay. I have the desire and I have the goal. First step. First step, desire and goal. Second step, you know, is really visualizing and seeing what it is that you want. Write a list of it. Write a list of goals. Make a drawing of it if you're artistic. Pick a song that you really describes what your desire is. Whatever means that will make it meaningful for you and touch you and inspire you. It could be a simple movement. You know, when you clap your hands, you think of applauding for other people and it gets you more excited. So think of applauding for yourself. Clap for yourself. You know. And something that's object relations that is meaningful to you, and create that as your reminder, and visualize what is it that you really want, and take all those things, the song, the clapping of the hands, the list, and one by one manifest it. Say to yourself, by April 15th, I am going to have XYZ and ABC completed, and commit to it, you know, and look, we're human beings. Life happens while you're living it. If it doesn't happen, whatever you do, don't beat yourself up. You know, I have this character that I always use as a metaphor. I call her Judgy Pants. Because
Judgy
we all
pants.
Love to Judgy Pants. I call her Judgy Pants. Because we all love to judge ourselves, and we love to judge others, and, you know, it just doesn't get you anywhere. So don't let Judgy Pants come in and say, oh, I can't believe you didn't do it. See, you can't do it. It's never going to happen. Just forget it. Just give it up. Stuff Judgy Pants with a cup of coffee and a biscotti and tell her to just sit down and chill out, because she's always going to be there, and she'll be a part of you, but she doesn't have to impede on your dreams and your desires and your wants. You know, so the whole time and the whole process is about creating a relationship with yourself, holding your own hand, and knowing in your heart that you already have it all. If you have the desire to be a doctor, then you already are one, because it's in your heart. It's in your desire. The question is, do you really want it? Are you going to choose it? So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does.
Completely
it was,
went
it was
on a
very,
tangent.
It was very helpful, and I think all those little voices that come into our mind, the ego or the dialogue of a parent or a teacher who told us we can't do something.
Right.
You know, Judgy Pants. We all have a Judgy Pants, and I just give Judgy Pants $5 and say, go shop and have a coffee on me, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And if the desire is, sometimes, and this is also where life coaching really does help, because you have another person in the mirror. Sometimes the desire to be the doctor that you've always wanted to be, you're so far deep into it that you don't realize it's really your parents' desire for you, that you've taken it on and it's become your desire, and you don't realize that it's your parents' desire. And when you uncover that and discover that, whoo, it's
freedom.
It's a miracle. Absolute freedom. Absolutely. Because then it's not about the pursuit of something you don't really want, and you don't have to do it anymore. And you don't have to create the internal struggle anymore.
There was an example. I was talking to a friend who was conflicted about working, and her friend was telling her that I am going to anoint you and to allow you that you have freedom. This was over the phone. You
mm-hmm.
now have freedom with the
mm-hmm.
sword on either side of the head. And after that anointment, this friend felt relief. This felt this freedom, felt this unburdened feeling of, wow, I can do anything.
Right.
And if
exactly.
you kind of subconsciously give yourself, like you were saying, these visualization tools to help you, that they're very helpful. And also to not be so headstrong on being a doctor means being a doctor in a hospital, how being a doctor
mm-hmm.
should look. You could be a
mm-hmm.
doctor to Haiti. You can use those
exactly.
caring, loving skills in another fashion, in another box that we shouldn't really hold on to how we think that end result should be, because that could change.
Exactly, exactly. Life coaching is about living your core life's values, not anybody else's. You know, I just remind the client of their connection to their infinite resourcefulness, as I said before. You know, they already have it all, and I'm just the reminder.
But that's true, but I think we all need that reminder. We all need that someone to help us move forward, because a lot of us aren't self-motivated. And even if we are self-motivated, it's challenging. We want somebody there in our corner rooting us, you know, cheering us on, and also saying, hey, look, you did this, and yeah, that's fine, but you're deviating from your path in this way that's going to affect you in a certain way that's not helpful. And we need somebody to, you know, to have our back and to tell us the not so nice things that might happen on our journey. And you know what? If you really want it, you'll do it. And I guess as a lot of people say that we all are where we should be at the right at this time.
Mm, exactly. Exactly.
So,
which is a very hard thing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was talking about, that quote before, of the power of now, you know, looking at your life and saying, okay, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. You know, and then if you want to get out of that, it's starting to make the choices and taking the steps, you know, but really being at peace with where you are currently creates a lot of freedom. It gives yourself permission to just be. And we all want permission. We all want permission to be who we are, to do what we need to do. You know, I had a student that was freaking out about some sort of homework assignment, and he was so afraid to make a mistake. And I brought him close to me, and I said, look at me in the eyes. I'm telling you something right now. I want you to remember for the rest of your life, you have permission to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. I'm giving you permission to make mistakes for the rest of your life. And, I mean, the look on his face, every little clenched muscle in his face just released.
Beautiful. That's just beautiful. And, Renata, I want to thank you so much. This has been so inspiring, so helpful, and I feel like I'm a new being already, and you're charming. You're absolutely charming, and I wish you,
so much
luck. I want to give out some contact information for you. You can contact Renata on her website at www.reachingpotential.org or at 818-644-7210. And Renata will help all of us find our being and our potential, which is a wonderful gift. So thank you so much for being on the show today. You're just a delight.
Lauren, thank you so much.
And I also want to give another holler out to Michelle Cox, the Director of Development from Villa Esperanza, for joining me in the first half hour of our show. And once again, you can contact Michelle at Villa by phone at 626-449-2919 or logging on to their website at villaesperanzaservices.org. Well, I want to thank all my guests for a wonderful show. Please, please join me next time for another wonderful Wild and Crazy show, and my guests will be Clara Berta. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. See you next time, and I look forward to finding comfort. Bye-bye.